Epistle is written in St. Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, the 9th chapter. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for all your generosity, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission, flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Jesus said, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, the Lord's blessings to all of you, and a happy Thanksgiving Eve to you tonight, dear ones. I'm sure you are, just like me, very much looking forward to enjoying the bounty of good things the Lord gives us on this great day ahead of us. Good food, good company, good football, seeing my beloved Dallas Cowboys take the win. I'm sure you're looking forward to this as good, pious Christians. And the rest of you, I suppose, I'll see for confession later. Maybe not. Jokes aside, though, Thanksgiving is a rich holiday. There is no doubt about it. There's no doubt. But I would say, you know, I'm going to say that there is danger in it. There is danger if we're not careful. And we can see this in our gospel lesson. There's danger in not just physically consuming way too much food and drink and other good things and being steeped in gluttony, but also in being consumed by an excessive love for these things, by an inordinate desire for them, and thus becoming impoverished towards God. Look what happens to the rich man in our text. In the parable, our Lord says this: "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.'" Now, to be sure, there is wisdom in considering what to do best with the things that God gives you. There is wisdom in this, of course. And on the surface, this may seem well and good from the rich man. But the Greek here reveals much more going on beneath the surface, beneath the facade. In fact, it reveals the great foolishness of the man. The Greek indicates that he began dialoguing with himself in an ongoing fashion, in a sense, debating and arguing, and in his mind, chewing things over again and again and again, giving no thought to God, giving no thought to the poor, but only to himself. Amid such abundance and plenty, the man began to be consumed within himself. Listen to what he says. "What shall I do?" he thought. "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. Live the good life, as it were. I, me, me, me.'" That's all this man could think about. All he could do and all he wanted to do was hoard and consume. Despite his tremendous worldly wealth and freedom, you would have thought that all he had ever known was poverty and enslavement by how he responded to the Lord's bounty. And if you think for a minute that he or you or anyone else could ever truly relax and be merry while being consumed from within by covetousness and avarice, having such a grotesque state of the soul, if you think that, well, you might also be interested in buying a certain bridge in New York I could show you. Because you know as well as I do, it wouldn't be long at all before he'd want more grain, more goods, bigger barns. How long would it be before he took no pleasure in any of these things and wanted just more and more and more? Where was the hymn of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord who had given him such things? Where was the faith in this Lord who had given him so much? And could he not also provide for his needs of body and soul again and again and again? Where was the spirit of generosity and all the gifts he could have given to the poor, having been given so much? How could he not have known and seen the depths of his own inner poverty? How could he be so blind to this? Or that it's our duty to thank, praise, serve, and obey the Lord for all that he gives us only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in us. Dear ones, steer clear of the path of the rich man here. Take care that you don't slip into that path. And allow him to be your guide for living the good life. Because that is not the good life that he was living. He was blind to his poverty before the Lord. And when the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the pit. And the same Lord who gives worldly goods and life itself can also take these things from us in an instant, in a single moment. Our life does not consist in the abundance of our possessions. Man lives not by bread alone, as you know, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You all know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become unfathomably rich towards God in faith. By faith in Christ, we have well and truly come to know the riches of God's grace and the good life, life with him. As the baptized faithful, we've come into a Eucharistic life, a life of receiving the good gifts of God and giving thanks to him. Not a life of insatiable hoarding and consuming and covetousness, straining after more and more and more. No. But a life of thanksgiving and giving to others with generosity because we've been given so much in body and soul by our gracious Lord. So then, as you eat and drink and celebrate Thanksgiving this year, do so as the redeemed children of God in Christ Jesus. Do so as those who have been made wise unto salvation in him, and in whom his holy word dwells richly, as St. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. And with your family and friends, dear ones, I encourage you, with the tenderness of God our Father, I encourage you to make it a point to set aside just a little bit of time for you all as a family to sing a couple of psalms and hymns of praise and thanksgiving with thankfulness in your heart to God for all that he's given you. In faith, offer to our Heavenly Father this pleasing sacrifice of praise as is only right for us. And whatever else you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Because Christ is our life and our wisdom given us from above. He is our strength and our song, and he has become our salvation. To whom all glory is and shall be forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.